Today I'm going to speak on the topic, the great omission of the Great Commission. Now about 3.5-4 years ago, the Holy Spirit awakened in me something that I was neglecting. And it was through the scriptures that I had read many times before, but boy, something just happened that really awakened to me to what I have come to believe is truly the great omission of the Great Commission. And I'll even go so far as to say that I believe that it is the best kept secret in the church when it comes to discipleship. Now, I served over at the Hazelwood Christian Church, as discipleship minister, and this has been impressed upon me even more so as we've done discipleship kind of things. But I've found an omission in the church of the Great Commission, which I want to lead up to. And before I tell you what that is and share with you what that is, let's just think about the Great Commission for just a moment. We know what the Great Commission is. We know that it's found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And you know, basically, it's two major parts to that. First is evangelism. You know, God loves the world. Jesus said this. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, God loves the world. Just as he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's you. That's me. That's everybody in Monrovia. That's everybody around the world. Just think, God, our Creator, who we get to call Father because of what Jesus did for us on the cross long ago, He loves us, and he knows all about us. And sometimes I scratch my head and think, well, how can you still love me? But he does, because his love is so great. And his desire is for everyone to be saved. Like the scripture says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And you see, God wants everyone to be saved. And that's the job of the church. That's our job as Christians, to go out and talk to others about Christ. Evangelism, that's one part. But the other part is discipleship. Discipleship. Jesus said this. He says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, discipleship is the process of helping people grow in their faith. And that's a lifelong process. It's like a baby. A baby comes into a family, and you know, from birth to the time that baby becomes a young adult to go out on their own, it takes many years. And the same thing is true in growing in our faith. We don't ever graduate from our education and relationship of God. Now, we can turn away, we can walk away, and people do, but it's an ongoing process. And discipleship, it takes place in a lot of different ways. Anytime the Word of God is being taught, that's discipleship. Sunday school class, vacation Bible school, Christian service camp, ladies Bible study, men's Bible study. Even when two people just meet out in a restaurant or somewhere just to talk about the Bible, that's discipleship. It's done a lot of different ways. And there are some big major discipleship programs that are out there that the churches are undertaking. But the point is, God wants us to take and pass on that information to others, to disciple them. And that's what the Great Commission is all about. And again, we see it happening a lot of different ways. But one area that I've noticed has been majorly neglected, which I've come to believe is the great omission of the Great Commission, involves, now watch closely, it involves grandparents. Grandparents. Now stay with me on this. How many of you are grandparents? Raise your hands. Okay, see a few hands out there. How many of you are great-grandparents? Okay, how many of you have grandchildren that live more than 50 miles away from where you live right now? Okay, it's called long-distance grandparenting. We've got 5 grandchildren, and we've got one granddaughter. She'll be flying in Friday. She's been going to high school over in Hawaii because her daddy was in the Army a few years ago over there, and she decided she wanted to continue her education there, so she stayed there, but our daughter and the rest of them's in Indianapolis area. It's long-distance grandparenting. But the fact of the matter is, it's so much different now than it was when I was growing up, than it was when you were growing up. Both sets of my grandparents lived 5 to 6 miles, one to the southwest of where I lived and one to the southeast of where I lived. And I was on with my grandparents a lot at their home. But it's hard today to be a parent. It's hard to be a grandparent. The rise in violence, the increase of addictive behaviors, the proliferation of unhealthy lifestyles, the lack of commitment in relationships and marriages, the absenteeism of fathers, and COVID has had a major impact upon the relationships of families and being able to get together. So it's hard to be a parent. It's hard to be a grandparent. But there's something there that God wants us to do. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "And after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel." Now, when you think about that verse of scripture, in one generation, the world went from good to bad, just one generation. And how is that possible? It was because the parents and the grandparents neglected their God-given responsibility. And what is their God-given responsibility? Well, folks, you see, we have this God-given responsibility and yet a wonderful opportunity to have a spiritual impact upon our grandchildren, which is what discipleship is about, and even evangelism in many cases. We have this wonderful opportunity, but to do that, we've got to be intentional. We've got to be thinking about it. You see, in our society, it seems to be the teaching out there that the role of the grandparents is to spoil the grandkids and then send them home. And I like spoiling my grandkids. I like having fun with them. But we've got it all backwards. We've got it all turned around. It's not spoil them and send them back to their parents. It's helping to impact them. And you can do that. And please, please, at this point, some of you may be thinking, well, it's too late for that. My grandkids are already grown up, or my grandkids won't have anything to do with me, or you know, my kids won't let me see my grandkids. There's a lot of issues going on out there. I'm aware of that. But you can still have a major impact upon your grandchildren and their spiritual lives. And stay with me on this message, and I'll share with you how that is so. But God awakened in my heart this responsibility. And he did it in a couple of passages of Scripture. One is in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, where it says, "But watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren." Now, the Israelites, you remember the story, they were slaves in Egypt for 470 years or whatever it was. God raises up Moses and takes him down there, and you remember all those mighty, powerful miracles that he performed, that God performed through them. Once they were set free, when they went through the desert, then God took care of them, and he fed them, and then he opened up the Red Sea, and they went across in dry land. Well, all those mighty things that God did, he was saying to them, you know, pass those things on to your children and your grandchildren. And when I read that passage, even though I'd read it many times before, I thought, wait a minute. I'm a grandparent. What am I doing? Am I being intentional about teaching them about God? And it really kind of put me in my place. And then there's another passage in Psalm 78, and I would encourage you to go back and look at this closer. I won't read it all now, but in Psalms 78, verses 1 through 8, there's two major lessons. Actually, there's four, but I've combined them into two, that this passage teaches that we're to do. God's Word speaks to us. And one lesson is this, that we are to teach our children and grandchildren about the greatness of God and His love for them. Now, here's what the Scripture says. He says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us." Now, look at verse 4. "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders." You see, that scripture, God speaks to us today through His Word, and He's saying, I want you to teach your children and your grandchildren about the greatness of God and the love of God. Now, the question is, how do we do this? You see, we have this responsibility. And let me just say this, and please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, but the responsibility of teaching our children and grandchildren about the things of God is not the responsibility of the church. Although I am so thankful for the church, for youth ministers and youth workers and all the programs that are made available, but we've gotten off track down through the years, and we think we'll just drop them off at church and let the church do it. It's not the church's responsibility. We need to come along beside them and reinforce what they're teaching and learning. It's not the responsibility of the schools. It's not the responsibility of the government. It's the responsibility of the parents and the grandparents to teach them about the greatness of God. And how can we do that? Let me ask you this. How many of you have been down to see the Creation Museum? Any hands out there? How about the Ark Encounter? Have you seen it? Folks, you got to go. You got to go. It is tremendous, and it is powerful to go down. Now, it'll take you 2 days to do it. You can do it in one 2 day trip. But anyway, to walk through that Creation Museum and to see all the teachings about creation just opens up glorious opportunities when you take your grandchildren. When you go to the Ark Encounter, and that Ark Encounter is bigger than this building. It's amazing. You got to see it. We took two of our grandchildren last summer. We're going to take two more this summer down there. And the opportunities it opens up to teach them about the greatness of God, that's one thing that you can do. Another resource that we have in teaching them about God is simply the Bible. Now, I've always said and believed that every Bible should be red. And I don't mean just the color of red, but the red color reminds me of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did and the price he paid for our sins and for the gift of eternal life. But you see, folks, this is God's living word. And this book contains everything that we need to know about how to be saved and about how to live a godly life. And it's got recorded in here many of those stories of the creation, Noah and the flood. They need to hear about the greatness of God in those things. They need to hear about that story of how God opened up the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground. They need to hear about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was thrown into a furnace of fire and survived to tell about it. They need to hear the story about Daniel in the lion's den. They need to hear the story about David and Goliath. Those great stories and many more are there in this book. And that's what they need to hear. Why? Because when they hear those stories and they learn about the greatness of God and the power of God, then they're going to be able to have more confidence in their life and know who they can turn to deal with the problems and issues that they're going to have in their life. Because we have a mighty God that has that kind of a power. But we need to teach them about God's love. That's what the scripture says too. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Folks, we need to teach them about the greatest love story that's ever been told. The love story of Jesus. The virgin birth of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. There wasn't anything he couldn't hear. How Jesus raised the dead to life. How Jesus walked on water. How Jesus calmed the storm. His crucifixion. His resurrection 3 days later. His ascension unto heaven. And his coming again. Folks, he's coming again. And they need to hear about that. And that's what the scripture is saying. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren those things. Folks, here's the thing. As a grandparent especially, you have a ready-made audience. Now, it gets a little more difficult when your grandchildren get to be teenagers in college age. They're just like typical teenagers. They begin to become more independent. But boy, when you got those little kids, if you've got any little grandchildren, little great-grandchildren, build that relationship. Because when you build that relationship with them and do things with them, they love to go to Pappy and Nana's, as we're called. They love to be with them. And you will have an opportunity to have a spiritual impact on their life. That's discipleship. That's a part of helping to fulfill the great commission of Christ. You know, the Bible says, you remember the old song we used to sing? Give me that old time religion. Now, if I could sing it, break out into it, but you know what it is. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. And folks, it is. That old time religion, those stories, we don't have to worry or need to try to come up with some great creative program to entertain the kids. We just need to tell them about the greatness of God, and that's what he's saying. We need to tell them about how much he loves them. Now, another major lesson that out of this passage is to teach your children to trust and obey God who loves them more than we ever could. Now, here's what the scripture says. Begin with verse 5. It says, "For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, Now listen to this. So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. You see, that's how it's supposed to be. We teach our children as parents, and then we help teach the grandchildren so that they will grow up and teach their children and their grandchildren. And that's how it keeps going, and that's God's plan. And that's God's desire of discipleship, is that we keep telling them about his mighty power and his love for them. Folks, there's no greater heritage that we can give to our children and grandchildren than that of a solid faith in God who loves them more and will never forsake them. You see, money's going to escape them. The economy is up and down and will fail them. Friends move away. Friends sometimes turn away and let them down. But folks, God will never forsake them, and God will never move away from them. God has never forsaken us, and he'll never move away from us. And they need to hear that, and they need to know that. And you have an opportunity to have that kind of impact upon your children and grandchildren. You see, we must teach our children these things because, you know, when our children grow up, you know, there's God's design is for them to grow up and leave the nest and go out on their own. And it's our responsibility as parents and help with grandparents to help prepare them for that time. But we can't go and be with them. They go away and they're on their own, and we can't watch over them as much as we might like to do. But you see, when you teach them about the power of God and the love of God, and they come to understand that here is a God, my creator, who loves me, who is always watching over me, who is available to help me, then they're going to know that no matter what kind of valleys or storms in life that blows in upon them, and it will many times as it has for us, they're going to know that they got somebody to turn to that will never forsake them, who will always listen to them, and that is God Almighty, our creator. Remember the story of Joseph, the boy with the coat of many colors, and how his brothers sold him into slavery. You remember the story. He goes down into Egypt, and he's hired by this military leader, and military leader just comes to know him and trust him so much so that he turns his whole house over to them. You remember the story how his boss, Joseph's boss, this military leader's wife, her eyes set upon Joseph, because the Bible describes him as a young, handsome young man. She desired him in ways that she should have never desired him. She wanted him. And you remember the story one night when she reached out and grabbed him to fulfill her desires. He pulled away, and he said this. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" You see, he was away from home. He didn't know if he'd ever see his dad again or not. But he was able to resist that temptation and do the right thing because of what his dad had taught him and how he had been raised. And he had come to love God. And so he was able to resist that temptation. You see, folks, our kids, just as we all do and as we've all experienced the temptations of life, when you love God and you know him, you'll be able to understand that he will help them in those kinds of situations in life, just like Joseph did. They are less likely to fall away from their faith when we instill upon them. Verse 8 says, "Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God." So you see, folks, again, when we work to help instill that faith in them, that's going to help them as they go down to life long after we're gone. Here's what I'm saying, folks. Parents, Grandparents, your grandchildren need you. They need you. And I want to encourage you to think about this, that you can have a spiritual impact upon your grandchildren. And I want to encourage you to, I want everybody to be saved, but of course I can't talk to everybody and you can't talk to everybody. But there's a group of people that I can talk to, and that's my children and my grandchildren. And of course, of all people I want to be saved, I want them in heaven. And I wish I could stand up here and say that all my grandchildren know the Lord and love the Lord, but I can't say that because that's not true. And I'm hoping and praying that someday that those who don't will come to know the Lord. But you see, what I've learned through all this is that I've got to be intentional as a grandparent and do what I can to have that impact upon them. And folks, you can too. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be thinking about, what can I do to be able to help them? Elmer Towns once said, "What can a grandfather give to his grandchildren when he has nothing left to give? The most important thing that you can give to your grandchildren is not money, possessions, or even the homestead. The most important thing is a spiritual heritage to guide their life." Now, I think we're all in agreement that that's what we want to be able to do, and you're probably saying, but how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got some answers here for you. And number one is this: begin with prayer. We should begin everything with prayer. Folks, prayer is powerful. It's a privilege that God has given us to talk to Him, our Creator, about them. We have five grandchildren, and we have designated one day of the week for each grandchild. Monday is Kyle Day. Tuesday is Lexi Day. Wednesday is McKenna Day. Thursday is Ellie Day. Friday is Ethan Day. And on Saturday is Robert Day. Robert is a child from Compassion International that we support in Africa. And we pray for him. And so every day we make it, you know, we pray specifically for them. And we'll remind them sometimes, hey, we're praying for you. This is your day, remember. And they know that we pray for them. We've had a couple of our granddaughters contact us one time with some things that they were going through. And said, would you remember me in your prayers? Pray for them, because God works. He knows how to orchestrate things to bring things into their life that can help them. So those grandchildren of yours that are already grown and gone, folks, you can pray for them if you haven't already been doing so. Pray even more so, because God can work in their lives to bring them to Him in ways that you may never see this side of heaven. Prayer, number one. Number two, Grand Monday Nights. Now, what is Grand Monday Nights? If you notice on the screen, there's a website. It's called LegacyCoalition.com. And it's something that I'm involved in. I'm going to tell you about it. LegacyCoalition.com began about 6 or 7 years ago by Larry Fowler out in California. It's all about grandparenting, and it's an effort to help give resources to grandparents. And if you go on that website, there's a store where you can go down, and there's books like Equipping Grandparents, Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers, Long-Distance Grandparenting, and then here's one called The Heart, H-E-A-R-T, of Grandparenting. I'd recommend you start with this book. It's a great book. But these are some of the resources, among many, that you can go on and order, get something, and start reading. That's what I started to do. I began soaking this stuff up like a sponge. And God has begin using. Now, on Monday nights, they have what's called Grand Monday Night. So if you go to that website and scroll down, you'll see Grand Monday Nights. And what that is, in this area, every Monday night at 8 p.m., you can watch live these people talking about grandparenting. And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just your time. And we've been watching it during the COVID thing, and it's been a great thing. But you can get a lot of great ideas, and I encourage you to do that. It's free. Another thing that you can do is host a Grandparenting Matters seminar. Now, that's hosted through this Legacy Coalition, but it's something I'm involved in. In fact, I'm on one of the speaker bureaus. If you go through, you'll see speaker bureau, and you'll see my face on there. But I volunteer because I want to do this, because I believe this is something. I'm a grandparent, and I want to help awaken other grandparents. Deb and I started a ministry over at Hazelwood called GPS, which stands for Grandparents Pray and Share. And before COVID came along, we were going out and talking to other churches about grandparenting and resources and all these things. And since then, I've become involved with Legacy Coalition. And so we go out, and now that COVID's beginning to settle down, we have these seminars. I can come to your church right here and do this seminar. It's available. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not standing here today to try to do that. I just want you to know there's help available. And I'm involved, and anything I can do to help give you ideas, I want to do that, because you can have an impact on your grandchildren. That's discipleship. Something else you can do is observe Grandparents Sunday. The second Sunday in September is always Grandparents Sunday. And this year is September the 12th. Do something. Plan something around that for grandparents. And there's ideas that, again, I'd be glad to help you with on that. The point is, you know, you got to be intentional. My grandson, I'll close with this. When he was 9 years old a few years ago, wanted to be baptized. And I'm so thankful he's been raised in a Christian home, in our son's home, and his wife. And my son came to me one day, and he says, "Hey, Ethan wants you to baptize him." And I thought, oh, great, that's great. But then I quickly turned back. I said, "No, David, you need to do that." Because David baptized his daughter. And I said, "That's something you need to do." And so he went back and talked to, but Ethan insisted he wanted his pappy, me, to do it. Well, long story short, I did go and I got to baptize my grandson. And there's a couple other things that happened during the hurricane when we were in Hawaii with our grandchildren over there that I wish I had time to tell you. But I've seen some things that God has used to help us impact our grandchildren. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Your work is not done. This is what excites me about these passages. It's not a matter of retiring and now you're, you know, it's all the younger generations. God's not done with you yet. He can use you to impact your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You may already be doing that. If you are, be encouraged. If you're not, don't be discouraged, because there's things that you can do. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. You can help disciple. You can help fulfill the great commission of Christ by doing your part in discipling your grandchildren. And there's ways to do it, and there's resources available. And I want you to pray about that and think about that and ask God to use you on how you can be more intentional in discipling your grandchildren for Christ. Won't it be great someday when we go and be with Jesus? And someday to be able to go up there and to have your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, maybe your great-great-grandchildren come to you and say, "Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, as I knew you on earth, I'm here because of you. Thank you." And they can. So think about it. Be intentional. God's not through with you yet. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your message of love through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you so much that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he's coming to get us someday. But Lord, before that happens, we realize that our life is limited. Either we are going to die before he comes, or he'll come in our lifetime. But Lord, we got work to do, and we, of all people, want to have an impact upon our children and our grandchildren for Christ. So Lord, help us not to listen to the devil and his excuses, but to realize that there's help available for us to be able to impact our children and grandchildren. Help us to do our part to fulfill the great commission in our family as you called us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.